All right, let's open our Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians, and we're in the fourth chapter this evening. And what a wondrous chapter. We're going to begin with Paul and, again, the testimony of the sincerity of his ministry. And again, brothers and sisters, throughout this 2 Corinthians especially, speaks of the sincerity that we need to have in our worship. I appreciate however Christ is preached. I appreciate however Christ is thought about. But I do believe that there needs to be a true sincerity, if by the grace of God we're really going to go into His depths. It's something that the Lord is asking of us to submit, to allow His work. And all we do is open up our lives to Him. And He does perform that good work which He has begun in our life, and we'll finish that. But we will also see, I know that we talk about many times that the high watermark of the Word of God is found in Ephesians. But I think that there's so many nuggets along the way. And I'll tell you, just as the Lord keeps pouring out, it gets more exciting all the time. So let's do begin tonight in the fourth chapter in the first verse. And it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And this is so precious, because this ministry now that Paul is talking about was the ministry that we spoke of in the third chapter, which is the new covenant of grace. God is visiting us wonderfully with His wondrous grace that is found in His Son. In that grace, we have access into the Holy of Holies. The veil has been removed. We have worship within the veil, if you want to think of it that way, right before the throne. And it's so wonderful that we can come boldly. And as it says there in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, we come boldly to that throne and we obtain mercy. We find grace. We get help in our time of need. I can't imagine, again, living a life that would think that this life was just something that we live and then we die. I don't understand that. I really don't. I can't comprehend it. Because the life that I now live by His grace is faith in Jesus Christ. He's everything. We're going to read about how I can look into that wonderful face every day, every moment. And I can even apprehend the very glory of God as it's being directed to my life. But in this wondrous ministry that we have, and it's about us tonight, is that we have this access into the Holy of Holies. And you notice there again that we receive mercy when we come to God. He's got compassion for us. Like I mentioned earlier, it's not this eye on the dollar bill that's looking for you to fail. It's just the eyes of love always giving mercy. And all He's saying, son, just come boldly. Understand what I have to give you. I've got all the love and even more that you could ever imagine that will get you through. It will see you through. It will bring you through. And then in that mercy that's received, we faint not. And brothers and sisters, that's the strength that you need. That's the only strength that you really have. It's in the very mercy, the compassion of our wonderful Father who gives us His Son so freely that we can have this mercy. We have this mercy that we can have the grace to face life. And there's many things that we face, brothers and sisters, that seem so overwhelming. Whether it's our job, whether it's our children, whether it's health issues, all of those different things. I'll tell you, in times like these, we need a Savior. And we do have a Savior, and He's there for us. And He's there to meet you every moment. Isn't that wonderful? To know that we can come boldly. And this is this relationship that we have, this fellowship that we have with Christ that refreshes us, that gives us that ability to really praise God even in the time of trouble. Now going on verse 2. We faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What He's done here, by the grace of God, what the Word has worked in Brother Paul's life, is He has renounced, or in a sense disowned, the hidden things of dishonesty. And that hidden things of dishonesty is the pretense. It's the motives. It's the falseness. It's the fakeness of coming into, like I say, the presence of the King. You're not going to come in that way. We're not walking in things that are dishonest. We're not walking in the craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. At this time, there were those in Corinth that were using the pulpit, that were using the ministry for fame, that were using it for money, that were using it to control people. Kind of sounds a little bit like today. As Brother Paul said, I'm not the keeper. I'm not over your faith. I'm just here to add to your joy. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's the good news that you need to hear. Enticing words are being promoted, are being professed at this time, because people have itching ears. Many, many of the ones that are taking the pulpits today, and one specifically, huge church, had a daddy that was a very sweet man of God. And I know the Lord loves this man dearly, but he professed very clearly, we don't preach doctrine here. People don't want to hear it. Well, thank you for telling me what the Word of God said. But how about standing and withstanding and having done all, stand. Set for the defense of the gospel. Praise God. He loves us so, I hope I love Him. It's my reasonable service. Is this what this life is about? We have to settle in, brothers and sisters. Is this calling worth the fight? And I have no doubt, absolutely none, it's not even worthy to be compared. Not even worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. Hallelujah. And as Brother Scott was saying, how about even tonight, Lord Jesus? Praise God. So again, these different ones, they were controlling, and they do the same thing today. Don't let people control you. They control you with guilt. They'll control you by, again, thinking that they're more scholarly. Let me tell you something. You live your life before the Lord. You live the life by the grace of God of faith that is found in His Word. And unfortunately, so many people today are controlled that way. And I have to say that pulpits are after that, to contain and corral. And all they're doing is oppressing. Let me tell you something. You've been called to liberty. You're free. You're free. That's exactly what Jesus Christ can work with, because He has made you free. And when you accept that freedom in Christ, then you'll grow. And all the enemy wants to do is keep laying bondage and chains upon your life, because society tells you something. Or that your pastors told you something. Or that these people that seem to be religious has told you something. Search these things to see if they're so. And you'll find there's great freedom. We're coming together to learn of Him. Yes, we need the teaching. We need the preaching. By the grace of God, He says, gather the much the more as you see that day approaching. And praise be to God, you got a group of people here today that are looking for the day of Christ to meet Him in the air. And that's a difference. So know that and treasure that. God has given you that. God has given you a body. Praise God. And it's His own in a sense. We're part of that wonderful body of Christ. But He's got a calling for us to be that body from within that body. The wonderful bride, the rib portion that was taken out of Brother Adam, that represented the wonderful bride that will marry our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we don't handle this deceitfully. And it goes on to say, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What he's saying here is that, you know what? By the grace of God, I lived and I live what I preach. Huh? I don't just talk the talk. I'm walking it. I'm testimony by the grace of God. If you want testimony in your life, it's going to come by faith. And faith has testimony. And faith has good works with it. It really does. It's got fruit. You can't stop the love of God. That's what real faith is. I love the Lord. I love His Word. I believe Him for what He says, because He so loved me. And in that, the wonderful love and the fruit of our precious Savior, the Word of God, is going to be produced in our life. We talked about this a couple weeks back. If we're not seeing the evidence of this fruit coming forth in our life, we need to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. I'm not looking for great and mighty things. How about just out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks? Huh? What's coming out of here? What am I thinking about most of the time? Is it all on me? Or am I actually thinking about my brothers and sisters in Christ? Do I get up in the morning praising the Lord and saying, could it be today? Or am I getting up and thinking, oh, it's the same old rut today. I've got to go to work. How about saying, Lord, this is what you provided. Hey, maybe don't pay much here. But if I do it willingly, and if I do it by the grace of God cheerfully, you couldn't even imagine the reward that God has for them that love Him. Come on, let's put this in perspective for our lives. Huh? Is it about your will being done or thy will being done? We all have these challenges. We all have these different things and thoughts. And let me tell you something. I'm definitely a person. If the Lord has put on your heart to chase hopes and dreams and different things like that, it's wonderful. We have many people in here, young people, that are in college at this time, 20-some. By the grace of God, He's enabled the church to help them go to college even. What a wonderful thing. But the thing that's the greatest of all is to use that to glorify the Lord. That we can glorify God in everything. Praise His name that He's working in lives like that, that we can magnify that testimony. And that's exactly what Paul was saying here. Christ in me. Christ in me, may we magnify Him in our walk. All right, verse 3. But if our gospel, Brother Kevin mentioned it in his prayer, Romans 2:16. Our gospel. If you go over there and look at it, let's go over there real quick. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 16. And it says there, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. This was the only brother that ever was encouraged by the Holy Spirit to say this. Because this was a gospel, and we're going to read about the gospel of the glory tonight that was given to Paul. It's going to judge the secrets, the intent of the heart. All of those things that we're thinking about maybe as far as, well, was it this? See, that's where God doesn't want us to go. He just wants us to believe. The work is His. The reward is with Him. He's judging us, His people right now, for a reward. And what a wondrous reward it will be. So again, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So again, they have eyes and they see not. They have ears and they hear not. And you know people like that. You have very dear people like that. I have a dear friend. Last 4 years, I know the Lord has so magnificently testified to that man from so many different people. And I've seen it. But yet, I don't have a need. I'm fine. My life is good. I'm a reputable person. I help people. If there was anybody that was going to change your tire, if you're on the side of the road, you want this guy coming by. But as lost could be. Because we haven't called on the name of Jesus. So if it's hid to them, I'm telling you, Paul said, I know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He gave out that message. It was there. Their blood was not on his hands because he gave forth the word of God. He lived that testimony. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Let's stop right there. Now, a lot of people try to think at this time, yes, there is only one God. We understand that. Deuteronomy tells us that. No other gods before me, no other gods after me. This is talking about the God of this world. Jesus Christ has not taken the throne as of yet. If we'll just understand and read the Word of God for what it is, we won't be confused about where they talk about this day of the Great Commission. It is the Great Commission. You've heard me say that. But it's not the Great Commission of going out there and saving souls or preaching the Word of God to every creature. The Great Commission is that God is visiting the Gentiles at this time to take out of them a people for His name's sake. That's the great, wonderful search for the goodly pearl is really what we talk about in the Word of God. But see here, what it's getting at is that the God of this world, that's Satan. The enemy, he is the God of this world. He's over it. He's allowed right now to reign, in a sense, as the God of this world. Now, I don't fear him, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. All right? I'm a child of the King. Satan is on a chain, and God's got him right there. See, that's how safe you are. Even the evil that was, are the ones that were prepared for the day of evil. God himself has prepared that. He's allowing Satan to tempt me. As we know in the story of Job, he even had to basically, I think of it as this, tapping the devil on the shoulder and said, "Hey, look, have you noticed? Have you observed? Have you recognized my servant Job?" The devil didn't even recognize him until God had to point him out. Do you realize the hedge of protection that's on your life? Do you realize that a hair on your head can never even be touched unless the Lord God allows it? Do you understand that those Hebrew children, I'm part of that same body. I'm part of that same body. And I have that same protection that I can enter the fiery furnace tonight. And I know a lot of us are in a fiery furnace tonight. But I won't even smell like smoke when I get on the other side. That's your God. See, that's your God. That's why I don't fear. Because perfect love, and that's my wonderful Jesus Christ, it casts out all fear. Doesn't need to be there. That life lives in me. The very power of Christ lives in me. Lives in you. That life. The power to access every bit of it. The power to get me to allow Christ's sufferings to enter my life. The power of the resurrection. The power of His might. My goodness, where are we, huh? Oh, man, of little faith. I want great faith by the grace of God. What strength it gives us. What power. But then on the other hand, those that don't know God, and the only way you'll know God is to know His Son as your Savior. How simple. And how worried I'd be. Now, do you understand people that would live in constant fear? Do you understand that there would be people that would be fretting? Now, listen to this. I might be stepping on some toes. About, oh no, Iran's got a bomb. Korea's got one. I hope you don't fear that. Your time's coming. Praise God. I'm not a fatalist. Praise God. I just believe the Word of God, and there's an opportunity that's about to be here for those that are looking that have never been. Praise His name. All right. So again, that God of the world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And how precious that is. See, we understand that this glorious Christ is the image of God, and it is shining to and towards us. It truly is the exceeding riches of His grace. For we preach not ourselves, verse 5, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. See, again, there's no authority over their faith. We read that in 2 Corinthians 1:24. We're just here to add to your joy. So then verse 6 comes along and it says, "For God," here we go, we're going into the gospel of the glory right now. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, first and foremost, I just say, if you got a problem, where are you looking? And I'm telling you, the Lord's not just tapping you on the shoulder. He's right there holding you. He's never let you go. Never let you go. I used to remember holding my little guys. And I would think about how the Lord really started dealing with me about that. When they're little babies, you know, they kind of just sit there and they look at you and they'd be really satisfied to do that. But boy, they start squirming around and you're holding them. And there they are, completely turned the other way. And they're trying to get away from something and getting away. And I thought, what peace. And a lot of times I was holding them to protect them from getting into something, whether it was a dog or something like that they wanted to get to. But look at the peace. Look at the wonderful glory that's in the face of Jesus Christ and how that was brought to me. But you'll notice here, it's the light of the knowledge. And I appreciate a precious brother that so encouraged me in my life. Said, son, the greatest gift truly is the knowledge. And a lot of people will say, no, wait a second. Knowledge kind of puffs up. But the love of God, we understand, edifies. This is a knowledge of the love of God. Let's think about the different knowledges that the Lord brings us. There's the knowledge of the will of God. You want to know the will of God? I want to know the will of God. And that knowledge of the will of God, you'll find, I'll just give you these verses because I don't want to bog us down any, but it's in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. That's Colossians 1 and 9 and 10. And then there's the knowledge of the hope of His calling. How many times do people say, well, I wonder what God wants me to do? Huh? Be still and know that He's God. How's that? Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How much clearer does He have to be? All perform the work. But yet we're going to sit there anxious and not allow Him to perform the work. He is the potter. We're the clay. That clay doesn't do anything. I've done it. I could talk at that clay. I could ask it to move. I could say, jump up and be a pot, and it's not going to do anything. It's going to stay a lump. Until that master's hand gets on that life. Huh? Praise God. And that's really the whole gist of this is, again, we are His workmanship. So how about then, and that hope of His calling, you'll find it in Ephesians 1:18. How about the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6? Or how about the knowledge of the love of Christ, which is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19? And then one we don't like to talk about too much unless you're really in love is how about the knowledge of His sufferings that we find in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Do you see what the knowledge of Christ brings? It brings everything. It'll bring you the peace. It'll bring you the rest. It'll bring you the reason for life. But yet, where are we headed to find peace every day? Where are the majority of Christians going to try to find, well, I need to feel God? Let me tell you something. You need faith. You have faith and you'll feel Him all the time. I don't like to use that word, but that's what faith is. Faith is evidence. It's substance. We're going to read about later on in this chapter that the things that these eyes see, it's just temporal. They're not even there. They're there in a sense, but they're not going to be there. I want the forever. I want the things of God. That's what He's calling me to. These are things that are not seen, in a sense, with these eyes. But praise God, the eternal substance. It's magnificent. But you're never going to hold that and embrace that unless you know the Word of God. It comes through the Word. It comes through hearing it. It comes through believing it. It doesn't come through vain, repetitious prayers. It doesn't come through, I'm going to sing for an hour and a half until I work everybody up in a frenzy. This isn't a popular way, is it? Jesus Christ wasn't very popular at the end of His life. Brother Paul was sitting in a pit of a jail. It was just a hole in the ground. I was listening to a story I wouldn't repeat, how despicable and horrid those conditions really were. You had to read about those jails that they used to put those people in before they would take them out to kill them. No running water. No bathroom. And they were in there for months and months. And it was a hole about 5 by 5 and about 15, 20 feet deep. Huh? Is it worth it? Wrote the joy book of the Bible there, didn't he? He said, Lord, you love me so much, you brought me to this place to reveal yourself to me. I met a certain brother kind of like that. His name's Brother Todd. He's out there in the Lyman Correctional Facility. And I always appreciated what he said when we were asking him about getting out. And Brother Kevin was with me. And he almost looked at us as if we were kind of half-cocked. He said, oh, I don't want to get out if this is the Lord's will. He said, I drove by your church about 100 times in my lifetime, and I would have never darkened your door. But it took the Lord to bring me here, to have me sit and be still and receive the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if this is where I'm going to finish the course, my course, God forbid I'd ever want to leave. There's testimony all about us, brothers and sisters. But the sincerity, I don't know, we better examine ourselves. Are we in the faith? Praise God. All right. So we have this light of the knowledge of the glory of God, and you'll find that in only one place. You find that in the face of Jesus Christ. The full glory of God, it's right there. This is the face of Jesus Christ. It is. This is it. He speaks to you. He talks to you. He walks to you, with you. Praise God. This is the fruit of the glory of God that's evident there. Verse 7. But we have this treasure, and this treasure is the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Where is this treasure? It's in earthen vessels. It's in this. It's in this weak. And I mean weak. If you really know yourself, better realize how weak you are. I remember how Brother Hill used to talk about how the human body is one of the, as far as all the different creatures, we're more susceptible to sickness, far more than like a horse or a dog or different things like that. We're very, very weak. We can be destroyed by little teeny microscopic germs. You think of the different viruses that are out there that don't affect whether it's the West Nile. You know, your dog gets bit and different things like that. Well, it does affect a horse, but it sure does affect a human. Huh? That's how frail. But God has chosen this vessel. And I appreciated a sweet brother that was, again, rejoicing and encouraging me. Do you realize that God made man specifically for Him? Specifically for Him. Those animals, all of those things, that was made for man. We're to enjoy that. That's what God made for us. This beautiful world to enjoy. The mountains, the stream, all of those different things. But God specifically made man for Himself. And this is why He made him. So He could take this glory that was in the only begotten and He could put it in you. You talk about a story. You talk about a love story. We got to get with this. But how much Jesus loves you. How much Jesus loves me. That His whole plan, His whole purpose. God's Son, Christ in me. This is the gospel of the glory. And He's bringing this out. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why He chose this vessel to put it in. I don't care how big and how mighty and how tough you think you are. And I'll even throw how smart. You're nothing. You're weak. You are. You're very weak. I was looking at some of those Broncos. Did you catch that in the paper? Those big, strong, tough Broncos. And now they're asking for more health care because their bodies are giving out. Huh? All those linebackers, I saw them, their knees so scarred, their bodies. This is a wonderful, marvelous organism that God has made here. But it's weak. It's got a little season, maybe, if you want to think of it that way. But the greatest season, and we're in season right now, is Christ in me. And He's asking us to grow up, to understand what this very purpose and this very plan of this age is, that this life that's but a vapor, it's the most critical, the most crucial time there's ever been. That's your life. But is it the Christ in me life? And brothers and sisters, we start living that, embracing that, and a joy unspeakable and full of glory will absolutely take hold of our lives. Praise His name. So again, the power may be of God and not of us. Now, Brother Paul goes on to say, we are troubled on every side. How many can raise their hands and say, I have trouble? I hope we all can. I really do. Brother Paul, he's admitting it right here. We have trouble. That means this weakened vessel, it's going to experience this trouble. But there's a difference to the child of God. And here's the next statement. Yet not distressed. See, that's the victory. I understand what trouble is. I don't deny that. I'm not living in denial. I understand when it's coming at me. I know it very well. I am not ignorant of the devil's devices. It's there. And then the other thing that's so sweet is when I understand about this weak vessel, the Lord allows me to understand my very weaknesses. Paul knew him very well. He prayed three times for the Lord to take that thorn that was in his flesh. But God told him so quickly. He said, hey, look, my sweet brother, if I take that from you, you're going to be glorified and not me. And I love you so much, son, that I know there's a heart there. I know there's an anointing there that wants to win my best. Do you think God's got a plan for your life? I believe He does. And I believe you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't to actually finish with joy and a crown. That's the expectation. But see, these are the things that He's purposed in our life. That again, by grace and grace alone, that I accept, that you, I say, Jesus, You love me this much that I know that it has to be this way. It has to be the way of suffering. It has to be the way of exposing the very weaknesses of myself in order for You to be glorified. Christ in me. Praise God. Praise God. So we're not going to enter into distress. We are perplexed. That word kind of means, I feel stuck. Huh? How many of us feel stuck? Yeah. Yeah. Now be still and know that He is God is a wonderful place to be. We don't want to be stuck in just a cycle of distress or despair all the time. We want the Lord to lift us out of that. But here it is. We're, in a sense, perplexed or stuck, but I'm not in despair. Because I know the plan of God. I know that maybe you meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. These are things you have to, if you really want peace in your life, you better lay hold of this. These are promises. The very promises of God. That all things, not some things, not part of my life, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Are you being called according to His purpose? I believe tonight, again by grace, you're making a step of faith. The very purpose of God is for us to gather the much the more and actually preach the Word. He's pretty faithful, isn't He? Praise the Lord. Always faithful. Always faithful. All right. Goes on to say, persecuted. Sure you are, but you're not forsaken. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Huh? Cast down. I love to think about that smoke and flax. But He doesn't quench it. That bruised reed, He's not going to let it break. Praise God. This is the wonderful Lord, His love that we're talking about here. And what He is bringing into our life. always bearing about in the body, verse 10, always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. This has nothing to do with the crucifixion, but this has everything to do with living a life that is yielded to the Lord, that says, Thy will be done. And in Thy will be done, I have to know the fellowship of His suffering. By His grace, I need to be made conformable even unto His death. What He's telling me here is, son, you got to pick up your cross and follow me. The only way I'm going to follow Him is in the fellowship of His suffering. But how many of us want to say, Lord, that was such a mighty, wondrous event. Thank you, God, that you sent your Son and He died for me. And I believe that He's my Savior. But that suffering stuff, I'm done. You got to be crazy to want to suffer. This book tells me I'm going to suffer if I go on, if I go after Him. But the crazy is I'm crazy in love by His grace. You love people. Why do you get these different ones that marry? You think about it. Let that speak to you, and it always has. You look at it and say, well, that doesn't match. Why would he want her or she want him? Love. Love. But as you get to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how could we not help but love Him? Huh? It's too good to be true. Beyond. The fairest of 10,000, praise God. But always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And there's a reason. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I think about there in Romans where it says that all of creation is groaning for that day. All of creation is groaning for the day of the manifestation of the sons of God. You'll look into that verse and you'll find that that's the very mature sons. The ones who have allowed by His grace the very manifestation of the life of Christ in our bodies. And verse 11 says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Now, brothers and sisters, he's saying here now, he's changed a little and gone a little deeper. For we which live. Now, there's sometimes I just stand in awe of the Lord when He causes our hearts to be moved to study a certain way, where He brings His grace and so abundantly to us. But that word live right there, brothers and sisters, is the same word that you'll find in the Greek as the word alive, that you happen to find in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the air. It's also the same word that you'll find in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, where it talks about those four beasts or those four living creatures. It's that same word, alive, alive. Listen to what this is saying. That we which live, you look at society and say, well, if you're walking on the face of the earth, you're living. No, you're not. And this is even different for Christians. This is the difference of I have life or I have abundant life. This is the difference here that he's bringing out. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Paul was excited to die. He was excited when they put him in that prison. He knew the plan. He said, I'm suffering for Christ's sake. I couldn't do this. I didn't build a tower and go sit. I was reading about that guy that sat out there on that tower for like 20 years. He was suffering for Christ. Did you read about him? His back, I think it was at the, the 1600 or 1700. They made him a saint. He was suffering for Christ's sake. No, who was suffering was the guy that was bringing him the food because he was so putrid of smell. And that was the truth. Those are self-induced suffering. That has nothing to do with suffering for Christ's sake. Zero. Suffering for Christ's sake is saying, Lord, I will go. And when I will go, let me tell you something. He'll separate you from family. He'll separate you from the familiar. And He will. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're going to find things that are absolutely strange. And they'll be fiery. And they won't be pleasant. Nope. And they won't be joyous in a sense. But yet when I see Him in the face of the glory of the one I love, they're not worthy to be compared. It's not even worthy to mention them. Because Jesus is so good. And His love is always there. And now we go back and think about, what am I murmuring about and complaining about today? Come on. God be praised. He's got me right where I want. I'm starting to understand that when He's pouring on these trials in my brothers and sisters' lives, I want to know how you're doing. You know, I'll ask. Certain ones that know you, I might even say, I'm praying for them. But the Lord's teaching me it's because He so loves you. Who much has been given, much is required. And I'm telling you, He was talking about suffering at that time. He really was. The joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. There's a joy that's being beset before you. And it's the glorious face of Jesus Christ. I'm studying this week about how finishing that course. Do you see Jesus? Saying, come on. Come on. I'm here. It'll be worth it. It really will. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too big. Because it's all about the love of God. So that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's Christ in me. That's Colossians 1:27. Praise God. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. That's Philippians 3:10. What do you think about that? That I would know Him. That I may know Him. Now, I'm satisfied with knowing His acts. You guys can have His ways. I'm out of here. I'll read the stories and pray at the dinner table. And if that's the amount of the Lord that you have, praise be to God. But there's so much more. It's so much greater. It's so much deeper. Where He's bringing and drawing us into. We having the same spirit of faith. Here we go, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. And this is the spirit of the Lord that was mentioned there in chapter 3, verse 17. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. That was Brother David in Psalm 116:10. That's Psalm 116:10. Brother David was encouraged by God to say those words. I believed and therefore I have I spoken. And think about this. Don't ever go talking about something that you don't believe. Well, I'm telling you, a lot of people do that. Try to give out the Word of God and yet you haven't believed and accepted it in a sense for yourself. It's going to be void. It's going to be empty. It's not going to have the very Spirit, the anointing behind it. And you need the anointing. The Spirit even gives us utterance to speak. I have gone in my own strength. And let me tell you something. That wasn't a pretty picture. It wasn't. There's times I've been so defeated. And I thought there is no way I could give out anything. And the Lord said, well, son, I'll tell you what. I've just chosen you to bring the supper. And you know what? I want to feel like that all the time, in a sense. Because you know what? He can work with a life like that. I've told you. Get back in there and I just pray. It's not a prayer of fear. It's a prayer of really knowing how inadequate this life is without Christ. That the very power is of what is given to me. It's the life that I now live by the faith in my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what brings it out. So he says, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So by faith, there is testimony. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now that was all of chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians that we read about there, is that it is finished. Huh? It's finished. And praise God, when I accepted Christ as Savior, I died with Him. I've been crucified with Christ at that moment. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. All right? So what shall I fear? I don't need to, because Christ is the life that lives in me, and I know that I'm going to be raised with Him. Praise God. For all things are for your sakes, the glory of God, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. So what Paul was saying here, the Holy Spirit saying through Paul, was Paul's suffering glorified God and it edified the church. For which cause we faint not, because we know that it's God's work. There's nothing to fret about. There's nothing to faint about. This is God's work. And brothers and sisters, this is God's work. It is. Absolutely. I don't question. I don't need to. And I shouldn't. I believe. I trust. I yield. I rely. The confidence is in Him. Huh? It's not in what these eyes see. I think you're listening tonight. I sense you're a little bit tired. I thought these are things maybe to jump and praise God about. But I know that that's happening. I know that that's happening. I don't need to hear it here. I trust it here. Because I know the Word of God never returns void. I know my brothers and sisters are sitting over here and thinking, oh man, it's been a long day. But I know that the glory of the Lord is here. Because we're looking at the very face of Jesus Christ tonight, because this is His Word. So I know it's reaping. See, that's the thing we have to settle into. It's not a life of feeling. It's not a life of the sensation. It's a life of believing. I believe and I have spoken. That's what brings this out. That's what makes this real. That's the sincerity that's in the Word of God. So, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, and that's a given, no matter what all the medical techniques and the Botox and all of those different things you may be trying to do, and God bless you. Let it go, right? No. That perked you up. But it's going to perish. It is. You're going to get old. Things start to spring loose and hair in places you didn't want and no more hair. And never mind. You know the meaning. Now we know that's inevitable. But this is the suffering for Christ's sake. This is when, as Brother Paul had preached and truly was enabled of the Lord to give his life for this ministry, to really be set for the defense of the gospel, saw so many wonderful changes in people, glories that were given to people. But yet at the end of His ministry, all had forsaken Him. And He was a minister of ministers. He was a pastor of pastors. See, there's a difference. He was a pastor. He cared. And He loved. And it was Christ in him. Yet I see so many people thinking, well, oh yes, I want to minister. I want to pastor. I want to be an evangelist. Praise God if there really is a desire for that. But let the calling be of God. And the one thing I will tell you to ask yourself, if all forsook you, would you still want it? Huh? Do you love Him that much? I do. And that's not me. Can you imagine to say, I do? Those are wedding words. We're not in this, but for one thing. To win Him. To win Him. Lay it all aside. All those preconceived greatness of that's going to magnify me. How it's going to position me better. We don't come unto Christ that way. We're not going in for gain. We're not going in for control. We're going in for love. I just love Him. We just love Him. Are we there? Is He bringing us into that? I believe He is. Isn't it exciting? It does. It leaves me speechless too. Really. I got to get out the old peach and we'll pass it around. Hey, got to taste it. You describe it. Oh, stop. Couldn't do it anyways. He's just too good. And I think we've come to that point tonight. As we've heard so many times about that cow. Called you a lot of things tonight, and I appreciate you being patient with me. So now He's called me a cow. Well, there's a neat thing about a cow. Is they chew their cud. And I think we've had a feeding. And I ask by God's grace that we'll just savor it. Cow's got plenty of stomachs too. You know, it kind of passes it around, burps it back up. Think how unpleasing that may be. But with the Word of God, I'm telling you, just keep chewing it. Let it get sweeter all the time. It'll get bitter when it gets down to that stomach, but you know what? The Lord will bring it back up, and it'll even be sweeter the next time. Because that's how God works. Praise be to God. Let's stand and be dismissed.